El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Well, welcome, 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 welcome. Yeah, it's good to be with you here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're back here on live radio here across the thing. I was about to say across the fruited plain, you know.
Why did you say that, Rush Limbaugh?
Well, that's why I didn't say it, because Rush Limbaugh says it. You don't have to have the thing up.
Yeah, well, they're on hold, and they're waiting.
Yeah, that's great. We'll get to them in just a sec. We have Dean Wheeler and Amarelda Wheeler, who will join us in a moment. Because we're going to talk about what occurred at this Tony Robbins coal walk or fire walk over the weekend. Not really as to what happened at the Tony Robbins event, but we are going to discuss these kinds of new age, if you will, events or these new age gatherings, the worst of which, I guess, was the thing in Arizona where people were in a large simulated Native American sweat lodge, and you heard the story. Some of them wound up dying, and others got very, very sick, and it was completely it was just unacceptable and could have been avoided. And I obviously, it's the kind of thing where you'd laugh at if it wasn't so tragic, because it's a bunch of these Americans of Western European descent, and all of a sudden everybody wants to go native. And I personally, like I said, if it wasn't so tragic, I find it a little laughable. But we're going to talk with Dean Wheeler and Amarelda Wheeler here in a moment. Our number is 877-876-7445. And by the way, this is no disrespect intended to anybody that does that. You know, Bud, because I was telling you.
Yeah, you say you went on a Tony Robbins. Over to Tony Robbins' house, or not his house, but...
No, man, you went on, like, his resort, right?
I went to Tony Robbins' resort in Fiji, and I'm going to tell you something, man. I've never been to a more beautiful place in my life. In my life.
Yeah, but that's only on account of Fiji.
Well, you know, there's a point there, but I got to tell you, the actual resort hotel itself was... It was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. It was the most beautiful place, and it was, you know. So anyway,
No, must have been nice having that kind of money and everything.
No. You want me to tell you a story? Well, just let me get into this, will you? Because I didn't spend a dime, and the reason why I didn't spend a dime is because frankly, I was put off by the operator that I dealt with when I was trying to make the reservation, and I complained all the way up the chain. To, I think, the second in command to Tony Robbins. And
you're kidding.
No. And they said, Mr. Henry, because we were going to Fiji anyway, I was going to stay at that Jacques Cousteau resort, which was also fantastic. And by the way, if any of you people are listening, we certainly the advertising dollars would be. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't think this is all plugola.
I'm not getting paid anything. I'm not even going to. I'll finish this later. I'm finishing it later, bud. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our live-streaming video cast of our show tonight, tomorrow night, the night after, any night that we're on the air, live. And you can not only watch that, you can watch the video archives on demand. And very soon, oh, man.
When's that going to happen, man?
Let me just tell you, very, very soon, I talked to Greg today. Let me, you know, folks, you got to understand something. There, you know, it's a world that you just don't know. In order to make Flash Media compatible with Apple, I know there's people out there saying, oh, it's real easy, man. All you have to do, oh, sure, all you have to do, all you have to do is, and also all you have to do is lay out, oh, I don't, something in the low to mid five figures. Well, it's, sure, all you have to do. And also, for the money that we're paying, I want to make sure that we've got a good vendor. And we were dealing with a jackball, and Greg very wisely said, you know what, take your company and what you're offering. We don't want to deal with you. Thank you and good night. And so we're dealing with some other people, and they seem to really have their act together. However, having said all that, folks, we will be available on demand for your Apple products, your iPhone, and your iPad very, very soon. We are, of course, on demand right now, available on all of your droids and PCs, et cetera, so on and so forth. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, Dean Wheeler and on the line with us. And Dean is at the resort, which is, you have the Northern California Holistic Center, Dean.
Yes.
And, but this is not, is this in conjunction with the Holistic Center?
Well, Phil, yeah. The Holistic Center, which is located on our property in Novato, California, is the central place, I suppose. I don't want to use the word ashram, but it is a place of learning, and I do a great deal of the teaching there because I have immersed this myself in this.
What are the teachings?
Well, I don't. They're not teachings per se. I mean, you can be any religion. We teach mind control of the mind. We teach control of the body. We teach meditation.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you do that.
Yes, meditation. We teach
yoga.
We do have yoga classes. We have relaxation classes, and we also have these specialized classes and seminars in control of one's senses, in control of one's body, and that's what I think Tony Robbins was trying to do, and didn't do it well. And I'm second to none in my admiration for Tony, but I think in my line of work, like any other line of work, there's a saying that a lot of you people in your business will use, which is something along the lines of, move over, let the big dogs eat.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, in the world of New Age teachings and trainings, there are the big dogs, and while Tony Robbins is a great motivational speaker, I think he needs to move over and let Dean Wheeler, eat. Or I'm not. I don't want it to sound like I'm eating grass.
No, I understand. But so are you well known in this?
Well, I think so. We teach people the same kinds of techniques.
All right, now, what happened at the Tony Robbins event? Just to cut through it, was what?
Well, what happened was these people, I don't believe, were trained very properly in the focusing of the mind so that you are drawing away from the senses and the nerve endings literally, physiologically, it's the shape of the body or...
Physiognomy?
Say that again, Phil. Write that down and write it. Say it again.
I'm sorry, it's physiognomy? Is that the word you're looking for?
I think it's physiognomy, Emma Rosa. So, yeah, physiognomy. Geez, that's a hard word. But it means the physical characteristics of the human body. So what we do is we teach drawing that away. Tony Robbins should have. But he did not do it properly, and what happened was the people that were walking on these coals wound up losing their concentration. The mind went back to literally the heat, and they wound up having the flesh burned, and there were terrible, it was a terrible thing for people. They heard screaming, and you can imagine the agonizing screams of a man who's having his feet burned to the bone. And
to the bone? Is that...
Well, I don't know if that was it, but I have to tell you, Phil, when I heard this, and I wanted to get on the phone and I wanted to call Tony, and I wanted to say to him, what are you doing?
And now, you know him well enough to call him?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. And
he's talking.
I'm telling him, Emeralda. Emeralda is going to be joining our... the Hopi ceremony that we're going to have a little bit here in a moment, Phil, that I'm going to demonstrate.
Now, my understanding is you also teach a mind over matter. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. And it's not, to say I also teach a mind over matter is like saying, it's almost like saying, I understand you flew like the Wright brothers, too. Let me tell you something. Only in that case, I would be the Wright brothers, because I think when you compare Tony's technique, which is a simple mantra. He uses a mantra, and what is the mantra? It's I don't know what it is. Let's say it's mambo mambo or something. I think it's okay, so it's like, and you have to chant the mantra. I don't know what it is, but let's say it's mambo, you go mambo, 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 and that's not the right one, though, is it?
No, chant mambo, mom. You're not supposed to have hard consonants in it. It's got to be balloon, balloon, balloon. It's more of an extended.
Okay, I got that. All right. So it's a more of an extended vowel. Balloon, baloo, baloo, baloo. But mambo, mambo, the hard consonant is against, it just goes against everything that the universe, in terms of vibration, it goes against everything. You can, with the wrong mantras, Phil, because all creation is vibration, and with the wrong mantra, you're going to, I don't know.
What's your brother?
Well, my brother, we were using a mantra that we shouldn't have used. It was something like mambo, mambo, and it had the hard time. We were mambo, mambo, mambo. And my brother ruptured a testicle playing basketball outside. I know it wasn't my fault directly, but I also know...
Your brother ruptured a testicle?
Yeah. He was playing basketball outside, was chasing the ball, leapt, and landed spread eagle on a brick wall. And we were inside misusing a vibratory source. I think it was da-do... Dadu, dabubuni, something, the babuni, bae. And that hard consonant, my brother Wayne went spread eagle onto a brick wall and screamed. Oh, God, I still remember it. So,
all right, hold on, Dean, because I want to hear. Dean Wheeler also teaches a mind over matter technique. And we're going to hear what he teaches and where he thinks Tony Robbins went wrong. Well, you heard him. He said Tony Robbins just doesn't know how to teach these kinds of things, and that's why people were being burned, he said, seared down to the bone. I didn't hear anything like that. 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil. We'll be back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you get the Indians? Get out of here. Yeah, the Indians are here.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back. Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emeralda, from the Northern California Holistic Center. Tony Robbins, who is one of the most well-known and highly regarded motivational speakers, motivational teachers in the world, was holding an event at one of his schools or places of meditation or resorts or spas or I don't know.
Well, Phil, a lot of times they're called retreats. We have our retreat. We have our man camp. We have three different retreats. We have our man camp. We have couples camp. And then we have the fulfillment. And fulfillment is really it's everyone together, all of the members of our ashram, but they... Yeah, on that one weekend, you dissolve, meaning you don't acknowledge any relationship. To give you an example, Emeralda knows this, on the, I forget what I call it, what's the name of man camp, couple camp?
Unification?
I guess it's the unification.
That's what I think you said, unification, yeah. You don't remember?
Yes, I remember. It's the unification. You know, I remember, but you have to understand, the unification on that weekend, we disavow knowledge of our other, and Emeralda is my other, and we will walk past each other during the unification weekend and not even acknowledge each other, and it worked out. It's there's a lot of things I could tell you about it. I don't want to tell him about that. No, I don't want you to.
What are you hiding here?
We don't hide anything, Phil.
Phil, there was a rape. Let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
Phil, there was a rape. And I didn't press charges, Phil, but Dean had come into my room, and this was our unification weekend. And Dean had come into my room. And it was on our unification weekend.
Right.
You've already said that.
Shut up, Dean, and let me finish, because you're harsh in my butt. I mean, you don't say that. God, tell me that. You don't say harsh in my butt. I will say what I want. Bill, can you hear me?
Yes, and I don't want fighting over telephones. There's an awful lot of that that happens on this show.
Mr. Hendy doesn't want fighting over telephones.
I heard. You don't give me direct. Can I have that?
No, you may not.
May I have it?
No, you may not.
Give him the phone, will you, Emeralda?
Yeah.
Hold on. Dean, I don't want fighting over phones. I just told her.
I am not fighting over a phone, and I would appreciate it if you... If you have something to say to me, you say it to me directly. I've been the guest on your show, not her. How many times have I been on your show? Well, you don't have to answer that, Phil. Hundreds and thousands. And, you know, a lot of times. She hasn't. She hasn't been your guest. So if you have something to say to me, I'd appreciate it.
All right, but Dean, I'm here and understand.
I know you're there. Wow. He's there.
Is that right?
Yeah, Phil, we know you're there.
I'm here, and I hadn't finished my sentence.
All right.
I'm here, and please be mindful of the fact that you are representing your school, your system of beliefs, your mind over matter teaching.
It's not called your mind over matter teaching. It is called the benevolence. It's called mastering, and it's painful. And it can injure you, and it can even leave you crippled. But you will be an enlightened being once you leave our camp.
It'll leave you crippled? It'll...
Yes, I thought that might get your attention.
Oh, Dean, you're really sounding petty.
All right, Dean, and I have to agree with you. You're sounding petty.
I don't like this whispering between you and Emeralda.
There's no whispering. I'm on the radio. Talking to you and talking to her. Now, she said that you raped her?
It was during the unification weekend. I hope, Emeralda, that you're happy.
Dean, honey.
Oh, no, don't honey me. It was during the unification weekend where we're not allowed to acknowledge each other. And I went into her hut, and I had, I was lonely, and I...
They got into my cat.
They are now. Would you tell them not to do that right now?
We have to start the ceremony.
All right, but I want to finish. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, do you have to go?
No, I don't have to go. No. The Hopis have started the ceremony, but what I'm saying is, do you call that rape? I said I can't take it anymore.
Yes, I do. And so let's not talk about it anymore. You're going to have to deal with that on some other, in another dimension.
Is that right? Now you're making fun of my beliefs?
Well, I want to get to the mind over matter thing that you're talking about.
It is called the mastery. And it came from masturbation. Can I tell him? Jesus. Take the phone. I don't care.
Phil, he's going to be fine. He just has been a very stressful for Dean. Because we had signed up some 60 couples and only about 4 couples have showed up. So that's 2 times 4, right?
Yeah.
All right, 2 times 4 is 8. And I had table settings for 120. So it's pretty pathetic. But you know something? We're free. We are loving it. We're learning the mastery. We feel everything we feel. I feel it. And,
yeah, my brother Wayne felt it, too.
That was your fault, Dean, for the wrong mantra.
I'm better now, Phil. I'm sorry. It was not... And again, she's right. I'm being emotional. The mastery is simply this. When you walk across the molten steel... It's not molten steel, but it's heated to almost the point of melting. They are spikes. You walk across these white-hot steel spikes. It sounds daunting, doesn't it?
It sounds impossible.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm going to demonstrate it for you now. And I'm going to show you, Phil, this is far more difficult.
You show him, Dean.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't cheerlead me, okay?
Just show him, honey.
Don't cheerlead me.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, you will walk the spikes?
Yes, it's called... It's called Walking the Steel, and it is part of the mastery.
Masturbation.
I've never hit a woman in my, not since I got out of jail, I've never hit a woman. And I may do it tonight.
No, you will not do it tonight because I'll call the police if you do. 877-876-7445. We'll be back as Dean Wheeler walks the steel. A mind over matter, mind over whatever, you know, new age deal that Tony Robbins was trying this weekend, and his people wind up burning their feet. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
I have to get, oh, please, oh, please.
Welcome back. Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to join Dean and Emeralda Wheeler. They are in Northern California, Novato, and this is what you call walking the steel. Dean, you are doing this, I don't know what you would call it, a ritual?
It is, we call it an asana, Phil.
What is that again?
It is called an asana. And
asana?
No, it's called A-S-A-N-A. In yoga, these are postures, Phil, and these are positions that, and I don't mean that in the sense that a lot of your listeners might, some of the young people you have listening want to think of it in terms of a sexual, in that this is about, what do you call it, it's about...
In Tantra yoga, it's sexual.
Yes, I know, but this isn't Tantra yoga. This isn't even yoga. I just called it an asana because I need to get... I'm going to walk the steel, Phil.
All right, describe what you're about to walk over.
It is a... It's like a metal carpet, if you will, only it's made of steel and steel spikes. There are heating coils underneath it that have heated the metal... to the temperature of near molten metal. Now, I don't know the exact Fahrenheit or Celsius of that, but I am given to understand by Pete Bendel and his brother Jason, who have the electrical, there are a couple of electrical contractors who set the coils up. And isn't that right, Pete?
Yeah, it's pretty hot, you know.
But, I mean, what's the temperature?
The what?
What's the temperature of the...
Well, it's not important.
No, what's the temperature, Pete?
I mean, it's pretty hot, you know.
Yeah, you said that already. Oh, boy. All right. Emeralda, you're gonna need to back away from me tonight, honey, because you've already got me.
You really, really need to lighten up, you know.
No, honey, you do. You do, honey.
The temperature, I can look at the temperature if you want it.
No, I don't need the temperature.
Tell the guy we don't need the temperature.
Mr. Henry doesn't need it.
I got it. I go to the truck. Hey, Jason, go to the truck. My brother went into the truck. He's going to get out the thermostat.
I don't give a you-know-what. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, we're you know, burning daylight here.
You're what?
We just want to get this moving.
All right. I am now going to walk the steel. Emeralda, would you please take, and again, Phil, this is done naked, so my loincloth I'm removing, my under thing, which is a, it is a holistic term, I suppose in the layman sense it's called a jock strap, if you will, or a cup, but it's called the under thing. It is dropped from, you don't push it down, you spread your legs and allow it to drop. If it doesn't drop, then... It's the wrong size, really, but you can't touch it.
I don't know any of that. I just want to hear you...
Well, these are all very... Why did they stop?
Okay. You got to hit it, okay? One, two, and a one, two, go. Come on.
Why'd you stop?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't ever want to hear them stop, okay? Because I'm donating what we're giving to their reservation and to the tribal council, that entire elk.
I am thin.
I am donating an elk, Phil, to the Hopi Council of Novato.
An elk? E-L-K?
Yes, a full elk. And I brought it to the Hopi Council. with a very festive and ritualistic air. I had put on, well, I don't want to get into it. I tried to put on what I thought a tribal chieftain in Celtic lands would wear.
Okay, and you were interacting with the tribal chieftains of the indigenous North Americans?
Yes, otherwise known as Indians. Get a load of him, will you? You don't have to get all that fancy, Phil. All right.
Okay, fine. Then why don't we call you, instead of Celtic, we'll just say you Irish guys.
No, because that's offensive. All right, let me just do this. All right, I have dropped my loincloth. I have dropped my underthing. Hey, are you going to be nude? Because I don't want to look at it, you know. I beg your pardon. You guys can go home, okay? Would you get out of here? I still got the electrical contractors here.
I bet you want to know the temperature on, but I can do it.
Yeah, you know, my brother went and got the... I don't want to talk to them. Get them out of here, please.
Boy, I'll pay you later, okay?
Okay. Jesus. You're nude enough, man.
Yes, I'm getting naked. You're staring at my rear end. I'm not doing it.
No, that's part of the job, though.
Okay, you know...
I'm on the radio on the Phil Hendry Show. On the Phil Hendry Show, okay? Okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Oh, boy. All right, Phil, I'm ready to go. I am looking at the heated steel. These coils are heated to a temperature... I don't even want to think about it. It will, if I allow myself to think of the heat coming from the coils and the spikes, I will impale myself on these spikes. But if I remain focused and if I remain absolutely fixated on the third eye and the medulla oblongata and the trajectory between the two, you're good. I'm good. You know.
You're good.
Well, if there's a term for it.
Samadhi.
What?
I don't know, man. Nirvana, samadhi.
Yeah, super consciousness. Yeah, okay. Boy, get you. All right, here we go. All right, tell him to cool it now. You know.
Boy, you can cool it.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. So I'm about to begin the cool it. Will you, guys? Thanks. What's that?
I need to tip them.
You gotta tip them. I have to tip the singer, this guy.
You gotta tip him.
Yeah, I gotta tip him or he'll leave. Are you guys leaving?
I am not stay.
Why not?
Well, you have to tip if I'm going to look at your book.
Scrotilia.
The scrotilia.
And
okay, I can't have that on the air.
Would you guys watch your language?
Sorry. No stay. No look at white man. Walk across spike. Everything hanging down halfway to knee. You look like, wow, look like some old, just saggy Frenchman. Don't you have sandals?
I beg your pardon?
Don't you wear sandals?
Do I wear sandals? Why do you say that?
Are you French people?
I'm not French, okay? I'm not French.
What is with these guys? Pay them off. Give them the tip.
All right, okay. Will you pay them?
My purse is in the house.
Make it snappy.
Come on.
Excuse me. Don't tell my wife to make it snappy, okay? Don't do that.
White man, no talking.
Oh, knock it off, will you, Cochise? God, this guy's going through the holes. The guy thinks he's on Tonka.
No, me no, whatever.
All right, Phil, here I go.
No, don't do it yet. I want to see it.
Oh, God.
Boy, this is really starting to irritate me.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong. All I did, I'm doing everything right. I dropped the under thing, my loincloth. Oh, and the plug. And
the plug?
Yes. No, it's not sexual. Why does everything have to be filthy with you? Everything has to be filthy with you. I'm getting sick of it. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm just...
Boy, you, buddy, you know, whatever it is you're about to embark on, I hope it chills you out.
It's going to chill me out. Yeah, just as soon as... Did you tip him?
Here's your money, guys.
Oh, good. Thank you. Look at that. Ulysses S. Grant.
Why?
All right, hit it. 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. Go, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's a bad jam.
Right, you guys just...
Okay, could Dean...
Yeah, I got it. And now, Phil, I will begin my walk across the steel... whatever the hell it's called, I forget now. I'm so thrown off.
Are you sure you're in the right frame of mind?
Yes, I'm in the right frame of mind. Here I go, Phil. I'll do my mantra, which is, again, you cannot have the hard consonants. My mantra, as you know, Phil, is balloon, balloon, balloon.
Are you, it's balloon?
No, it's not balloon. It's balloon, balloon. It's not balloon like a kid's balloon. It's a word that it sounds like balloon. I mean, if you go to China, they have a word over there. They have the word two-bit whore. But do you know what it means?
No.
Dove. That's Chinese. Two-bit whore. When you say two-bit whore, it's a dove. You see?
I was in China. I never heard that.
Oh, really? Well, I guess you just didn't hear anybody talking about a dove. God. All right, I will now begin. I'm going to walk across the hot steel. I'm focusing my mind, and I'm going to make Tony Robbins. I hope you're listening, Tony, because this is how you do it. And I'll tell you one other thing, Tony, before I step onto this hot steel, you should have been walking across those coals with those people. And it really angers me, Tony. It angers me, and you know that I respect you, but that you could not go across the coals with those people. But here I go. Ow, 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 God.
Oh. I don't think you know.
Ow, ow, I did it.
You did not do it.
Yes, I did, I did it. I didn't make any noise, did I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Will you shut up? You know what? I'm going to... I just slapped her. I'm sorry.
Every night this week, well, last week...
You were on the air for 3 days last week.
Oh, okay. You keeping track, too? Somebody's been slapped.
Don't worry, Phil. Watch this. What are you going to do? Ow!
I stepped on his foot. He's got a spike through it.
Well, so, in other words, his mind over matter didn't work.
It did. Why do you say that it didn't? Why do you lie? Why do you lie?
You did, Dean. You were screaming.
What?
Honey, you were screaming bloody murder. That's why the Indians had to keep... I had to slip another... He lets us his grass. Go ahead, boys.
Just shut that off! What are you telling me?
You were screaming. Screaming! You went two steps.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
Dean, I'm not lying. You went two steps, and you started to scream.
Honey, you did. You were screaming, and you were screaming like a girl. You were going,
you're a lying whore.
Is that the Chinese for dove?
Wait a second. Oh!
Yeah, how'd that feel, huh?
Oh, whoa.
She stepped on your foot?
Yeah.
Then why is your foot hurt?
Because she stepped on it? What a stupid...
But doesn't it look like it's more injured than just her stepping on it?
Well, there's a hole in it. So what? Oh, my God, there's a hole in my... there's a hole in my foot. No.
You want to keep going with it?
Yes, I want to keep going. Why shouldn't I keep going with it? This is very compelling radio.
Yeah, but it's all flipping out.
I want to find out where this goes. Because you know something? I noticed something. You know what?
What?
When he thought that he had made it, in other words, when he got off of the steel carpet, he was talking with us, and he was very emotional, but he wasn't in any pain. When I said, look at your foot, and he saw the hole in his foot, that's when he started feeling the pain.
So you're saying maybe it did work?
Not the way he thought it would, but in some kind of a reverse way, yeah. We'll be right back with Dean Wheeler. As he practices mind over matter, walking along a steel spike carpet, whatever the hell, on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil, 877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler is with us, along with his lady, Emeralda. You see that you're bleeding badly from the foot and that you have a hole in your foot.
I can see that, Phil, and that doesn't matter, because mind over matter means that it doesn't matter. And I know that sounds silly, but mind over matter means it won't matter. And that means that you can undergo the most radical physical trauma, and you won't feel it. Now, you're telling me that I was screaming, because I don't remember any of it. Maybe you blacked out. No, I didn't black out. Blacked out. That's something some baby would do. Do I? I'm not. No. What are they doing? They're paid through midnight. All right, boys, guys. I don't need it. I don't want it.
You have to go back the other way.
I don't. I got to go back the other way. All right. I have to go back the other way, Phil, and this means I have to do a tribal dance, and I've got to do it on badly injured feet. So, and I also have to do it according to the incantation here. And I also have to do it on my, doing a handstand. It's really involved.
Meantime, one of the couples arrived.
One of our couples has arrived, Phil. One of our unification couples has arrived.
Well, aren't you going to continue doing this steel walk?
Yeah, okay, God. I don't want to.
Well, you got to do it. Don't you have to go back the other way or whatever it is?
Hey, hold on for a minute. Charlie? Yeah. Listen, are we... my phone from me. I was listening on the radio coming in here. I heard you on a Phil Henry show. I wanted to say to Phil and we're listening to you coming in, Mr. Henry. Loud and clear. You're coming in loud and clear on PCH on Pacific Coast Highway. And this is Charlie Lemonger and my wife Sylvia here. We come from originally from the Bronx, from Las Vegas. Take that phone away from me.
You want
Mr. Henry to know. And we enjoy the program very much. And these are real Indians. And all right, I'm now going to go back the other way.
That who's that?
It's one of my friends who's here for the weekend. I will now. Will you guys shut up with the? Please. Don't ever talk to me like that, you weakling, white man. These are the sacred drums. Yeah, sure. All right, you ready? I'm ready. I've got... Grab my phone, please.
We're ready.
Oh, yeah. Louder, Emeralda. When the moon hits your eye. Oh, I'm sorry.
Will you come on?
I'm sorry. I thought it was a different song. I've got to get back into key, and the only way I can do that is if I've got to get into the right temper. And will you shut your mouth? Shut that cheap engine up! You talk to my people that way? Yes! I tipped you $500. I'm sorry, Phil, but I have to get to a certain tenor, a certain vibratory tenor.
I'm trying to help you.
I know, but you got to do it louder. All right, here we go. This is the unification, and...
You know, it's starting to sound like you don't know what you're doing. This is a big load. Where are you, anyway?
I'm next to the waterfall. Do you mind? Do you mind if I'm next to the waterfall? Let me tell you. Mr. Henry, the waterfall is the... I'll do it. Oh my God, shut the hell up!
What are you doing? The lion sleeps tonight?
The who does what?
What was the song you're singing?
Eddie, seriously, man, it's really, you're tightening my jaws with that garbage, okay? Knock it off. I didn't know I was doing that.
Yes, that's what you were doing.
I'm trying to find the vibratory...
Yeah, the vibratory tone.
Well, that might be it. I don't know. God. Let me, you know... And don't even know to hold me down, you know, the end of the kingdom of the world,
well, it's been building up.
I don't know what it is. Okay.
I'm going to be quite gone.
Okay, tell you what, man. Your whole weekend sucks. Tony Robbins has got my money.
Oh, geez, that's unfair. Oh, that's so unfair. Tony Robbins burned a man alive. He burned feet.
Well, you just put a spike through your own foot.
And, oh, it's so unfair.
And you got Indians, and you can't control anything. You don't know the vibratory tone. You're singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
But I sang it pretty good, didn't I? Dean's got a wonder. Dean sings that really well. Can I do it? I'm too depressed. Go, baby. Go, 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 go.
All right. Thank you, Dean.
Go, 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 go.
Okay, so...
I don't know, man. Did he find the vibratory?
Did he find the vibratory? Not unless it's The Lion Sleeps Tonight or Don't Worry, Baby. I don't know.
No. You go... God, I can't do it. I wish I knew how.
You don't sing as good as the, you know, Dean, man.
Yeah, right.
You don't. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show coming up. I know we've got some pretty rancid stuff. Oh, David G. Hall and, okay, never. Just David G. Hall's coming up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's very delicate stuff.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows only dream of going. They dare not. We are a hand grenade in the middle of that talk radio talk radio lineup. Anyway, welcome to the pro... I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Welcome to the program. 877-876-7445 is our number. We're online every single night with a live video cast, Phil TV and HD, of our radio show here from the El Pacifico at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. So you can check us out there. I'd like to, a little note here, a little promotional note, that I'll be with Jimmy Pardo on Jimmy's Never Not Funny podcast. Jimmy's a terrific guy, funny as hell. He's got a very popular podcast. I was very honored to be invited on the show. We did an hour with Jimmy Pardo and the crew, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So check it out. It, as Jimmy calls it, and as they say in the music business, a 1980s music business, it drops on Monday.
Yay!
Thank you, bud. Also, our podcast, episode 26, is out today, our podcast, and it's out today at philhenryshow.com. Hit that podcast banner on our homepage. It is the 1981 Milwaukee Lions versus Virginia, Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison with the play-by-play, and it's bizarre, it's wild, it's crazy, and by the way, you can follow the Milwaukee Lions on Twitter at twitter.com/Milwaukee Lions. You can also follow us, but I won't go through that right now. 877-876-7445. Now, I'm asking Robert, we had this gentleman, Gary, on the line, right?
Yeah, Gary Rieger is his name.
I'm sorry?
Gary Rieger.
Gary Rieger. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing good, yes, sir.
How are you, man?
Yes, sir, I'm doing very good, thank you.
And, Gary, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Palm Springs, California. And I'm in the Wycliffe Country Club. Which where my wife lives. And
all right, now hold on. I don't want to get all of that information. And Robert said that you had a story that you wanted to... Well, it wasn't a story you want to tell, but it's a situation arising from some stuff that you've got in storage?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
All right. I've got some furniture that is being stored in my wife's garage right now. She has a condominium at the club where she lives, and I had asked if I could store furniture there.
Now, you're not with your wife?
No, sir.
And why is that? You separated?
No, sir. We're divorced.
Okay, so you're divorced. So I guess I need to kind of start at the beginning here.
Yeah, we got a divorce last year. I mean, it was final last year, and I had some furniture already that was stored at her condominium, And that's where it is right now. And I'd asked her if I could keep it there, and she said that she wanted to start to charge me, and I said that would be fine, that I would give her I think she's asking me $300 a month, so I'd store the furniture there. And I said that I would continue to pay that. And so all of a sudden now she is telling me I've got to get it out, and I wanted to see if I could get some either help from law enforcement. That's number one.
Now, why do you need help from law enforcement?
Well, because I feel that...
Tell him you think of being evicted?
Yeah, I feel in a lot of ways it's like it's an eviction that is illegal, because I've had the furniture there since we were divorced. I'd asked her if I could put the furniture there, and she said that I could, and I kept it there for the first year, actually for the first 6 months, and then she said that she wanted some money. She wanted payment in lieu of, to pay for me keeping it there, and she asked me for $300 a month. I said that I would pay her $300 a month, and here about 2 months ago when I got laid off because they were doing they had a subdivision over here just below Cathedral Canyon Boulevard, and I was working on that, and all of a sudden they ran out of money, so they laid off probably about a half a dozen framers, and I was one of them, and so I did not have any money to continue paying for the rental, but I told her that if she could allow me to keep my furniture there, and she refused, and I said to her that it was a very curious way to treat, family, that she would not allow me at least to keep my furniture in the storage there. And
so when you say family, what do you mean by family?
Well, by family, I mean that we were married. And
but you're divorced now, right?
We're divorced now, but when you marry somebody, you are a member of their family, and you may get divorced from them, but you have been, it's as if you are part of their family, and I don't say that because I consider her still my wife. I don't consider her my wife. She's married, as a matter of fact, and, has a husband, and this is a home they bought together, I guess. But so I'm not trying to intrude that way. I'm simply saying that as a member of her family, even though I'm paying, which I didn't think that I'd have to do, for her to tell me that I've got to get my furniture out of there is tantamount to... an eviction, I think.
Well, hold on here for a minute, Gary, because you're moving into areas here where I may not necessarily agree with you.
All right, sir.
First of all, when you say that you're a member of her family, I don't quite get that. You were married.
We were married, yeah.
You were married, but you're divorced.
Yes, sir, but when you marry somebody, you have become part of their family, see, and now...
But you're divorced now.
I understand that. I understand it.
Okay, and so being divorced from a woman means you're no longer in her family.
No, I don't see it quite that way. That was not how I was raised, and I've tried to explain it to Tanya, too, because when you are a member of a family, even if you move out, if you're an 18-year-old kid and you move out, you are still a member of that family. You don't live there anymore, but you're still a member of that family.
But a divorce is different from a kid moving out. A divorce is a legal separating of what was once a legally constituted family, but now you've gone to court.
No, I understand that, but you're not listening to me.
I thought I was.
No, because you were a child one time, and you moved out of your house. Legally, you were the responsibility of your parents. When you moved out of the house, you are no longer legally the responsibility of your parents. But you are still a member of that family, but you're not living in that house. So when you say that there was a legal separation, there's always legal separation involved in the moving around of family members. It's all the only point I wanted to make. I would not make a big issue out of this were it not for the fact that Tanya told me that she was now telling me I had to get the furniture out of there. I was paying $300 a month.
Well, did she give you some notice that you had to get your furniture out of there?
No, sir. Well,
hold on. What?
No, you said she did, though.
In what way?
You said that she called you up, said you had 2 months?
Oh, yeah. She gave me 60 days, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Did she say to you, you got to get your furniture out of here at a certain time?
Yes, sir. She gave me 60 days. That was back in May, and and the time, the 60 days is up. But I had explained to her that as a member of her family, I would expect some consideration. That's all.
Well, it's obvious to me that she doesn't agree with this family thing.
No, I don't think that's the problem at all. I think that she does, but she's still angry at Bay for the things that I did when we were married. And I think, obviously, she's under the influence of her husband, which I think is obviously they're married, and he's going to advise her, but I don't know the nature of their relationship. It might be a where he has a lot of control over her, you know. And
well, you know, I want to tell you something, Gary. I'm not really that comfortable with some of the stuff you're saying, because you speculating as to the husband's relationship with his wife, okay?
Yes, sir.
Is neither here nor there. I mean, we could sit here all day and have a nice conversation about that, but it doesn't have anything to do with anything. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yes, sir, I do, and I appreciate what you're saying, but again, as a member of her family, all I'm asking for is...
Well, you're not a member of her family, and if you want to ask me, if you ask me what I think the problem is here... The husband may be saying to the wife, you know, you need to get this guy's stuff out of the garage.
Well, that's not just a guy in the sense that I was her husband, and as such I was a member of her family, and now I'm a member of her extended family. I'm not saying that I'm her husband. I'm not trying to be her husband. For that matter, Mr. Henry, I don't want to be her husband, you know. She has a husband, but now all of a sudden she's telling me I have to move my furniture out of the garage, and I don't understand that because I had my furniture in there for free. She started to charge me 6 months ago, which I thought was unfair, but I went ahead, I paid for that, and now she's telling me it has to be moved out, and it has to be moved out by, I think it was yesterday. And
so you went all the way, do you live in Palm Springs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so wasn't very far to go to the...
No, sir. I live on Country Club, and she lives over on Cathedral Canyon.
Okay, so what are you doing over there?
Well, I wanted to talk to her and see if we could extend the deadline at least. Barring that, I wanted to talk to her and find out just why she all of a sudden is treating me like this, you know?
See, this is the part that is bothering me, because you are not a member. I know you think you are. You're not a member of her family, and she's got a husband there. And at some point, he's going to sort of confront you.
Well, no, sir, I don't. It doesn't have to come to that. All I'm doing is trying to explain.
No, there's nothing for you to explain. Well, hold on for a minute, okay? Is he there?
Yeah, Gary, you want to hold on?
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, Gary, hang on the line. 877-876-7445. Let me get back on the line here with Gary when we come back. Our number, 877-876-7445, as we're talking to Gary. What's his last name?
Yeah, Rieger.
Gary Rieger, who's been keeping his furniture at his ex-wife's house and feels that he has the right to continue to keep it at his ex-wife's house because even though he's an ex-husband, they're still members of the same family. Now, that's interesting. 877-876-7445, just one of those human interest stories that we have on the Phil Henry Show from time to time. We'll be right back. And we've got some Olympic coverage, or at least some Olympic commentary, coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Here now, Gary. We're talking here with Gary Rieger. Gary, you do you literally believe, or do you understand at least? And Gary's story is an interesting one, folks. So hold on. Gary has got furniture in his ex-wife's garage. Is that where it is, Gary?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's in her. Well, part of it's in a garage, and there is some that is in a guest bedroom.
All right, hold on. So, Gary, you divorced this woman. You asked if you could keep the furniture at her house, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, she's got a new house with this new husband.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, at one point, you had the furniture, and then you needed to store it?
Yes, sir. What happened was we divorced, and she went off. She got her own apartment, and I had my place, and because of the fact that we got divorced and she had her name on the lease and she moved out, I got stuck with the rent and I couldn't pay it, which is also something that I would like to work out with her, but she says that we were both on the lease and she already talked to the landlord, which I've got the paperwork.
Okay, hold on, but I don't want to talk about that, all right?
Yes, sir, I know, but just to give you the background. So anyway, I had the furniture and I was living with my parents very, very briefly for about just a couple of weeks, but I needed to put the furniture somewhere, and that's where she was getting married, and they were living together. And
what length of time are we talking about between the time you got divorced and the time that she started living with this new guy?
Probably about maybe a year and a half.
Okay, so there was a year and a half there where you were living in the old place. She moved out.
Yes, sir, she moved out. She got another place, and I was in our place, but then I got evicted because she would not pay the rent anymore. And
was she paying the rent there, too?
I'm sorry, sir?
Was she paying the rent when you two were living together?
Yes, sir, she was paying the rent only because I was on disability at that time. I'm a construction... basically, I'm a framing carpenter, but I do a lot of other things besides. I do electrical, I do plumbing, and I got hurt on the job, so I was on disability, which is also another situation that I'm trying to straighten out right now, where they have not paid me for a couple of months. But in any event, I that was the situation. So when I got evicted, then I moved in with my parents.
All right, and in the meantime, she got married or
no, she met this guy, and I guess you know, he's going to promise her the good life and all of that, and you know, waved a whole bunch of dollar bills, I guess, under her nose, and so she moved in with him, and now they're married. Okay, but in the meantime, I'd said to her, can I move my stuff into your garage?
All right, so you asked to move your stuff into the garage that she had with this man.
Well, yeah, it was her garage. My understanding was it was her garage, and I didn't know that they owned this place together. By the time I found out that they owned it together, all of my furniture was in her, being stored in her garage.
Okay. Not fair enough. She gave you permission. Now she asks you for to pay for it.
She asked you to pay rent?
Yes, sir. She asked me to pay for storage.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, and then she asked you to move it out of there.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Back in April or May, I forget when, but she said, you got to move it out of here now. And I said, I'm paying for it, $300 a month, and I'm able to afford that because I was disabled, so I'm still living at my mother and father's house, but I was collecting disability checks, so I was able to afford the $300 a month. Now she's telling me that she wants it moved out, and I'm a little confused about that, you know. As I said,
well, the thing that I think is the most troubling for me is you're describing yourself as a member of her family. Okay,
I understand that, sir, but that's just how I was raised.
All right, I appreciate that. If you were raised, though. Let me just, you know, I'm not going to judge, but you were raised, so I understand. Once you marry a woman, you're always a member of her family, whether you're divorced or not.
Say that again, sir. I'm sorry.
Once you marry a woman,
yes, sir.
You are a member of her family, whether you get divorced or not.
Yes, sir. And that doesn't mean anything about still being married to her or controlling her or anything. It just means the courtesy that you would show, a family member. She's not showing me. And I told her, I said, we are members of the same family. Why don't you allow me to keep my stuff here? The fact that you're charging me money, I think, is bad. And she said, my husband, you know, she said, Dave wants me to move it out. And I said, I don't think, you know, why don't you explain it to Dave? And she said, you know, she started in on me, and it was a whole thing. But anyway, that's why I come out here to try to talk to her, and she won't answer her phone or anything.
Okay, look, you're out there trying to talk to her now. Is her husband home?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
Well, you know, you ought to just turn around and get out of there, man. Is your furniture there? What happened?
Well, got disconnected.
We got disconnected. Great. Get him back on the line, will you?
All right.
877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show. We just lost the call, but we are talking to this guy, Gary Rieger, who's out in the desert, and he's got furniture that he was keeping at his ex-wife's house, and she's told him to get it out of there. She's married. She's got another husband. And Gary considers himself still to be a part of the family. Is he there? Gary, are you still consider? I'm sorry we got disconnected, man.
Oh, yes, sir. I might have been my problem because I was turning the camera down.
Okay, no problem. You consider yourself to be part of her family?
I consider us to be family members, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm still married to her. And I asked her to explain that to Dave, who's her husband, so that he would understand that there's nothing wrong with me having my furniture in the garage, at least until I'm able to get off disability or find another place, you know. But she says she's going to move it out of the garage. She said she was going to give it to a, whether it's a Goodwill or a St. Vincent de Paul or one of these agencies. And so I drove over here to talk to her.
Well, she doesn't want to talk to you, and she's not picking up her phone.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. She may not be home, but that's why I'm waiting here at the gate.
You're waiting at the gate to their condominium complex?
Yes, sir, but I'm not going to... It's not what you're thinking. I mean, I just want to see when she goes in, I can follow her in, and then I can talk to her.
You're going
to
follow her in?
Yes, sir, but no, I'm not... It's not what you think. I just want to talk to her about...
Well, I'll tell you, this is a woman with a husband and another life, and you're sitting there at the gate waiting to talk to her. It sounds a little suspect. You know what I'm saying?
I know how it sounds, but I'm not intending anything other than to try to remind her of her obligation to me. Because when we were married, okay, when Caitlin and I got married, she understood how it was with my family, that we are, you know, we're members of the family even if we get divorced.
Yeah, but she's got a husband. What's the guy's name?
Her husband's name is Dave.
All right, Dave doesn't think so, or at least it doesn't sound like Dave thinks so, because he's the guy that wants the furniture out of there. He didn't get disconnected, did he?
No, I put him on hold.
Okay, we'll be back with Gary Rieger here as he talks with us about a very interesting set of values here from a man who is divorced from a woman but still considers himself to be a member of the family, at least in terms of her doing him the favor of storing his furniture for him. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back here from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show here, and Gary on the line with us here from Palm Springs. It's very interesting, Gary, the way you were raised. You are a member of a family, even though you're divorced.
Well, yes, sir. I don't expect her to be my wife, see, but look, we made payments on a car together. We made payments on the same car for... You know, as long as we were married.
How long were you married to this girl?
We were married 2 years, and then she just all of a sudden started complaining about everything, you know, and that's fine. I can understand, I guess. People change, but I didn't change, you know, but we did make payments on this car. She still has the car. So the thing that I wanted to ask her was, if I cannot keep my furniture in her garage, can I want to use the car because I feel there's a trade-off there.
Okay, so, you know, you have a view of life here that is very interesting. You feel that you're still members of the same family. You feel that she should at least keep your furniture in storage for free, but you will pay $300 a month, and if she doesn't do that, then you want to borrow the car.
Well, I made payments on that car, okay?
But she got it in the divorce, is that right?
She got it in the divorce because... We had a divorce arbitrator or a divorce mediator that they have in the state that was very unfair and did not take into consideration some of the issues that I have, and I needed that car. And
But she got the car in the divorce, isn't that right?
Legally, yes, sir. She did get the car in the divorce.
Okay, so she's not under any obligation to allow you to... use it.
She is not under any obligation to allow me to use it. Is that what?
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, she's not under any obligation to allow me to use it, but she's has to...
She doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to do anything.
Well, in what sense do you mean? Because
she's not a member of your family. She's you. I know you think she is, okay?
Well, I know what you mean, Mr. Henry. Legally, that's true. I'm just saying that that's not how I was raised, and she and Tanya understood that. I told her that over and over when we were married, okay?
Well, you might have told her that that's how you were raised. You might have told her that this is how you do things, you know?
And also, when I told her that, I said that that came down to after we was, you know, if we were to get a divorce, you know? Now, I'm not saying that I'm threatening her. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to get into it with her husband or anything.
No, but you're waiting around the gate there where she lives, and you're going to follow her in.
Yeah, if they let me. Yeah, if they let me, you know.
So you will stay, if they say, no, sir, you can't go in, you'll stay outside.
Well, I don't see why they would say that. I mean, all I'm going to do is talk to her for like 2 minutes. That's all.
No. You're not listening to me. Are you going to stay outside if the security guard there tells you to stay outside?
I don't see why he would. That's all I'm saying. Because
if he just, it may be a rule. It may be the security guard himself.
Well, I mean, if he's not being reasonable about it, you know.
What are you not understanding that I'm saying here? Because what I've got here, you know, what you're telling me here.
No, Mr. Henry, I don't want to get into an argument. You know, I just called up to get a legal opinion.
I'm going to give you the legal opinion.
But you're not a lawyer, right?
No, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't need to be a lawyer. I don't need to be a lawyer. I'll give you the legal opinion. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You're not allowed, if she doesn't want you near her, you're not allowed near her. If she doesn't want you near her house, you don't get, it doesn't matter whether she, you know, you made payments on the car or not, she doesn't have to lend you the car. She got it in the divorce. It's paid for, right?
I guess. I mean, if she continued, well, yeah, it was paid for. I was going to say if she stopped making payments, but I made at least half of those payments. And
I understand, but it doesn't make any difference. It's her car. It's her car. It's her car, and I happen to know about divorces, which means she's got the pink slip is in her name. Number two, it's her house, okay?
Well, it's technically it's her husband Dave's house, okay?
No, it's her house, too, because she's married to Dave. So it's her house, too.
Well, it wasn't when they got married.
It doesn't make any difference, man. I mean, you've been married. Don't you understand the community property laws? It's half her house, at least for now, depending upon what their prenup is. You know,
well, that's the thing, and I asked her if she had a prenup, and she won't tell me that, because I could determine whether that house, do I talk to her, or do I talk to Dave? And I said, if I'm going to talk to your husband Dave, do you have a prenup? We didn't have one, I know that, but this Dave that she's married to now has some money, and I would imagine if he was smart that he would have had her sign a prenup so she doesn't, you know, get all the money, but I don't know how smart the guy is, but... And
she doesn't have to let you talk to Dave, and Dave doesn't have to talk. You don't understand what I'm telling you here, man. She doesn't have to do any of that. It doesn't matter what's in their prenup.
You know, if that house isn't half hers, though, if he kept that house in a prenup, I have the right to know that.
No, you don't. No, you don't, man.
Well,
you do not have the right to know that. You don't have the right to know anything having to do with her or that man.
If I'm going to keep my furniture there...
She doesn't want your furniture there. She told you to get your furniture out of there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Gary, you understand, man? That's the same thing I told her.
I understand that in this world that we live in, that women get everything in a divorce. I understand that. And
look, I don't want to debate with you, man, the relative fairness of the California divorce laws or any other divorce laws. I'm just telling you, man, that she doesn't have to do any of the things you're saying. And if you follow her into that gated community tonight to her condominium where she lives with her husband, you're going to be arrested.
No, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to cause a problem. I just told the guy here, I said, all I want to do is follow her through if you leave the gate open, you know. And
have you checked? Has he checked your ID or your credentials or anything like that?
Yes, sir.
What did he say?
He said he'd let me in.
Well, then why hasn't he done it?
Because he's waiting for Tanya to come through.
And she's got to sign off on you, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't have to sign off on me, sir. I'm not sure. He said that he's got to wait for her.
And he's going to ask her whether she wants you in that community or not.
Well.
That's what he might have checked your credentials, and you may be a nice guy, and you'd look okay to him. But he's not letting you in there, is he?
Not right now, but he's waiting for Tanya. She's going to sign off. All I want to do is talk to her for 2 minutes. That's all I want to do is talk to her for 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Talk to her outside the gates.
No, because I want to see if my furniture's okay. I have the right to see that.
She said she was going to put it out on the street, didn't she?
Yes, sir.
Did she say there was a time you could come and pick it up?
She's talking next week, but I don't know if her husband has already done damage to it or if it's still there, you know?
You could find that out next week.
I don't see how you know, Mr.
You know, everything I'm saying to you, man, is falling. It's going in one ear and out the other, isn't it?
All I wanted to do, Mr. Henry, is talk to the woman for 2 minutes. And
Everything I'm saying to you is going in one ear and it's flying out the other, isn't it?
No, sir, I'm listening to you.
You're listening to me?
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't register that you're not allowed in that community.
Yes, sir, it registers with me. I know that man has to approve of me coming through.
Okay, and if he doesn't, or if she doesn't...
Oh, he already approved me.
Okay, but if she doesn't...
You're talking about Tanya?
Yes, I'm talking about your ex-wife.
Well, that was a thing that I had told him. Okay, I said that she's my ex. She's still a member of my family, though, technically. And this gentleman here agreed with me. He said, I believe that that's true, you know, that ex-wives, ex-husbands should still be in families. So he agreed with me. And
oh, he's having some general conversation with you about the relative merits of family versus... That's got nothing to do with the law. He's probably just being polite, you know?
No, he agreed with me. And I said, my ex-wife, I still consider her family. And he agreed with that. And I don't know if he agrees to the extent. I don't know if he has an ex-wife or anything.
He agreed to you. He was making polite conversation with you, okay? All right, look. I don't know if I'm getting anywhere. We got a couple of phone calls we're going to get to, and I want to give our number out, 877-876-7445. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here with you, Gary, but I will tell you that if you are still there after, and I guarantee you they're not going to let you through, if your ex-wife is coming in and she's going to her home, I got a feeling she's not going to want you there, okay?
Well, I don't know, because my furniture's there.
She wants that stuff out of there. She gave you a date of next week to pick it up. Not tonight, and right now, it's late night. Is her husband home?
I don't know. He works. I know that he works nights.
Okay, so that's another reason why they're not... She won't want you there, man.
I'm not going to hurt her enough, Mr. Henry. That's got nothing to do with what I'm saying. And
yeah, but you're not listening to me, man. You're not saying... You know, I'm telling you, you don't get to go in there and talk to her. She doesn't want your furniture there. She doesn't... Her husband doesn't want your furniture there.
And so the part about where I made partial payments on that car...
That has nothing to do with anything.
I don't... Mr. Henry, you know, I have not yelled at you. I have not raised my voice to you, sir.
I understand that.
I haven't shown any disrespect to you, and I don't know why you're showing me disrespect.
I'm sorry if I'm raising my voice. I'm frustrated because I'm saying some things that I have to tell you, Gary, most people would understand.
I do understand what you're saying. I do understand.
You understand, but you just don't agree, is that it? You understand, but you just don't agree, right?
Not 100%, no, sir.
What part don't you agree with?
Well, I don't agree that I don't have the right to talk to her.
I said that she's going to have to approve of that, and I don't think she's going to let you.
Well, if she has my furniture...
She told you a date to come and pick it up, didn't she?
She did, sir, but I don't know what shape that furniture is going to be in. And then the other thing, too, is, like I said, the issue of the car, I know you disagree.
Boy, that's the one that I don't even get, man. The car is something that she owns. Hang on the line here, because we got to take a break. My tongue's dragging.
That guy is making a good point, though.
About what?
What point's he making? About the car, if he made partial payment.
Are you understanding, bud, that when two people get divorced, there is a community property, there's a property settlement? Some people get some of it, the other people get the other thing, and that's where it's at. And the judge or the divorce arbitrator or mediator, whoever the hell they went to, made that decision. They said, okay, you get this and you get that, and that's the end of that, man.
And she got the car?
That's what he's claiming. And if she's got the car, he ain't got nothing to say about the car, no matter how many payments he made. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
877-867-4445, world famous Phil Henry Show, and we're going to finish up with this gentleman here. We've got an eye on the Olympics, and we are going to talk a little Olympics next hour. Ted Bell is going to be with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Gary Rieger from Palm Desert, California, is on the line talking with us about the about furniture that your ex-wife had in her garage that she's asked you to remove that you don't think you should have to remove, Gary, because you're a member of the family and she should give you consideration. This is one of the areas that we've disagreed with you on, being a member of the family. She's divorced you. Secondly, you're waiting around the entrance to her place to talk to her. And thirdly, you think you deserve the use of her car because you helped make payments on it. All of this adds up to, in the mind of a cop, somebody that is stalking?
No, sir. I'm not a stalker, and I understand people would consider that. And, you know, her mother said that about me. And I said to her mother, no, I'm not. But her mother's been a big, big problem, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, I'm sure she has been a big problem because she's probably told you a lot of the things that I'm telling you right now. Here is Ray on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm good, thank you.
Well, I've been in that same situation you are in right now.
Yes,
and
sir.
My best advice is to get your furniture next week, like she asked you.
Right.
And if you ain't got a place to put it, sell it. Buy you a new car, cut your losses, and move on, brother.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. All I wanted to do was to see if she'd keep the furniture there for another month or so.
See, she doesn't want to, man.
Yeah, but it sounds like she don't want to have no part with you. And it's just
going
to hurt you in the long run, brother.
I think that's her husband, though, that's influencing her that way, you know.
It doesn't matter who's influencing her. It doesn't matter if it's her, her husband, her mother. It doesn't make any difference.
It's just going to hurt you in the long run. Get your stuff. Get your yard sale. Sell it.
What about the car?
Place to put it. The car.
What about her car?
Cut the losses on the car. You lost the car.
Well, I made payments on that car.
It doesn't matter because the...
Yeah, but look,
I'm sorry.
The thing about it is, paid payments, yes. But the thing about it is, the courts don't care.
Well, that's what I told this mediator. I said it to my way of thinking. They don't care at all about men, you know, and they give everything over to the lady.
The thing about it is, what you need to do today, tonight...
Yes, sir.
...is go away from the home. Because she can get you for harassment, stalking,
right,
and all
right.
kind of other charges right now.
She's coming in right now. Hold on. Is that her? Yeah, that's her car right there, Mr. Henry.
If I were you, don't even go up to the car.
I would leave.
Tanya? Hey, how you doing? Tanya? Hey, can I go in? Tanya? See, she just went in. She wouldn't even talk to me.
That's what I told you was going to happen, man.
Can I go in now?
I would cut my losses and leave, brother.
Let me go talk to her now. All right, that's against the law because she's got my furniture in there. She has my furniture in there.
It's not against the law. It's not against the law. I'm a licensed security guard.
You don't talk about that, man.
What's he doing, Uncle Robert?
Hey, Gary, what are you doing?
She got my furniture in there, and I wanted to go in.
Is he talking to the security guard there?
Yeah. Hey, Gary. Gary.
Hold on for a minute. Just a minute, Mr. Henry. I'm very sorry. My furniture's in there with my ex-wife and the man she's married to, huh? I know that. When it first got. You didn't tell me nothing, man. You said...
He's going to call the cops on you, man. Do you understand that?
What's that, sir?
He's going to call the cops.
You're going to go to jail. He's got the right to call the cops right now and throw you in jail.
Well, how come I can't at least make sure my furniture hasn't been destroyed by this man she's living with?
Then next
week... That's her husband.
Next week, you come back, and you
it's
see her and her husband,
yep.
and her husband. And
uh-huh.
you can bring the cops with you if you like to get your furniture.
I will do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get...
Do it the legal way. If
I'm going to get the Riverside Sheriff.
He can have you in a bind.
I'll get the Riverside County Sheriff out here, okay?
Good. Do that, man.
I'll get the Riverside County Sheriff out here. And
that
he'll come
would
with me.
Be your best bet, brother.
Hold on. What? I'm leaving, man, but I'm going to come back with the Riverside County Sheriff.
Okay, you know, you're acting like, Gary?
Yes, sir.
You're acting really stupid now, man. You're just standing out there yelling at people.
Well, no, I'm just telling this gentleman at the gate.
He don't
that
care.
My furniture's in.
See, this man Ray is a security guy.
Are you a security guard, sir?
Care.
Are you a security?
Yes, sir.
Can you talk to this man for me?
Well,
I got
like
a man here who's a security guard.
The security guard is doing his job.
Hold on for a minute. Yes, hello?
I'm here.
Who's this?
Oh, hi.
This is Ray.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
What is your name, sir?
Hi. Oscar?
Your name's Oscar? Yeah, this is Ray. He's a security guy.
Do you know this guy? Do you know
no,
this guy?
No, I don't know him.
Oh, okay.
I'm just on the phone to try to help him with his situation.
Okay. I thought you did because he was standing and yelling at me, and I said, I can't let you in, you know.
We thought maybe you weren't going to let him in.
You're doing your job.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And but what happened was this guy, he's telling me this and that, and he said, you have to let me in. I said, no, I have to wait for Ms. Van Buren to come in, and then I will ask her. And if she wants you to come in, that's fine. If she doesn't want you to come in, I said, I can't let you in. And now he's causing a problem, you know.
Why don't you call the police?
I said to him I would call the police. Yeah, but
that's
all
what
I
we're
do
trying
is
to tell
up.
Him. Right now,
yeah,
you
yeah.
have legal rights to call
yeah.
the cops.
Well, you know
him.
Something? You know something? I'm trying to give this guy a break. You know, I want him to leave. I don't want to
understand
have to
that. Just,
yeah, you know. And all I want to do is look at my furniture. I told you can't look at any furniture, sir, because it is the lady's house, you know. It's her house. I know that. And you can't look at any car. Nobody. I can't let you in there. I know that.
Hey,
put him back
Gary.
On the phone.
Gary.
Yeah, here's the man.
Gary.
Yes, sir. I'm this is Gary Reeder. Yes, sir.
Gary, look.
Yes, sir.
The guard is doing his job. He cannot let you in that gate. If you
yes,
try
sir.
To get in the gate, if you try to mess with him, he can legally throw you in jail tonight.
Yes,
you
sir.
You don't want to spend a night in jail, do you?
No, sir. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back
okay.
with the Riverside
okay.
County
okay,
Sheriff
now,
and put her in jail.
Well, okay,
oh,
now
boy.
Listen. You can't throw her in jail because you told her she'd hold your stuff, correct?
Yeah, I didn't give it to her, though, you know.
But legal
I'm
rights.
Leaving
well,
I'm leaving
well,
now.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Look, Ray, we've come to the end of the hour, Ray. We've come to the end of the hour. Great job, Ray. I appreciate very, very much you talking to him. And, Gary, we thank you very much for calling us, you know.
I'm leaving right now. Are you the guy?
No, I'm not the guy.
Well, I'm going to have the cops call you and get after you. I'm leaving right now. I'm talking to Phil Hendry on his radio show, okay? You've been on national radio show. Yeah, you've been on a national radio show. Phil Hendry, everybody who listens to him heard what you said.
Phil Hendry.
And then you'll see.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, they tried, but I said, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your
team. If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
Does it really make any sense at all?
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely. You start at your people.
Are you blonde? Are you blonde?
No, but I love
it. Love.
We're trying to get them to the backup, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. And of course, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-7445. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show tonight. Later on, Doug Danger joins us. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and the topic is going to be Charlie Sheen. And whether or not Charlie Sheen is a good thing or a bad thing for the entertainment business, your kids, and CBS. Coming up, Ted Bell is going to be discussing a potential lawsuit involving his restaurant and a patron.
And what is happening, Ted runs one of the more prominent restaurants in Beverly Hills, California. And here is a guy who is being, he's possibly considering a lawsuit against one of his own patrons for actions that took place in that restaurant last month. So that's all ahead here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. And don't forget, of course, our news hour comes up at the last hour of the show. And it'll be with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Join us also with our live streaming Phil TV video cast on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now new, enhanced, and by God, I think we pretty much got it in HD.
Well, is that verified?
You know what, man? I think it's just about high definition, I'm telling you. All right. So I gave you all the lowdown on what's happening on the show tonight. We also want to mention that our affiliate spotlight this evening casts its very firm gaze on Providence, Rhode Island, WSAR 1480 AM. Great people in Rhode Island and Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG 1230 AM in Grand Rapids. And PhilHendryShow.com is our, of course, our website. Let's join now Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we are going to be talking with him about this lawsuit that he's been talking with the not only his lawyer, but us about.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the most delicious cuts of meat and a great time. Served
here
up every night.
Ted's. Put our meat in your mouth.
I know you have a lot on your mind tonight.
We have an awful lot on our mind, Phil, and I don't know what this woman was thinking. I'm not going to speculate. My attorney mentioned that we can talk about it in a limited way, but it's not anything that I think, I don't want to characterize it the wrong way. I can tell you what happened. And I can tell you that it's significant for me, and it's significant to come on your program and talk about this, because so many people in the restaurant business, Phil, are dealing with this. We are dealing with levels of abuse from our customers that we haven't ordinarily dealt with. And
so tell us what happened so we can sort of scope this out. This was an incident in which you were assaulted, right?
Absolutely, yes. It happened, as you mentioned, Bill, it happened in the middle of January last month. We were closing, pretty close to closing. We'd had some late parties come in. And we had a dessert that we were pushing, and we were very, very high on it, and it was a new kind of ice cream. And we also were serving it with our vanilla cake, and we were serving it with our chocolate cake. So we brought the dessert tray by this table, and there was an elderly woman there who, I have to tell you, she was not the friendliest person throughout the evening. So you could say, well, maybe you should have seen this coming, maybe not, I don't know. I said, you've got to try our dessert, please. It's right here on the dessert tray. And try this ice cream. We've got it in three flavors. We basically had this vanilla, chocolate, and
this was the dessert that you were pushing, huh?
Well, the ice cream was, yeah.
Okay, but you're putting it on cake or a la mode.
That's exactly. So she looks at me, and she says, I'll take an a la mode on a piece of the French apple pie that we had. And I said, great. And we brought her two scoops. And she ate this. Now, we have been dealing with this supplier, Phil, and I think you know Len Hassinger and his brother. These are two suppliers who deal with a dairy and a dessert, sort of a dessert model, if you will, back in Chicago, and we really got a hold of this ice cream and really liked it. And so it's a Hassinger, it's part of the Hassinger dairy chain. So the woman ate the ice cream. And I said to her, how did you like it? She said it was delicious. And then I told her that it was breast milk ice cream. And that
it was what?
It was breast milk ice cream, okay? And this was what made it unique. It is ice cream made from the breast milk of women. And so we were excited about this product because we think it is a green product, meaning it is breast milk from a human woman. And so we're not taking up space in the traditional sense with cows or steer. And this was an ice cream that was made from the milk of human beings. So, you know, the overhead is not that much. And it's a very, very delicious ice cream. She picks up the dish of ice cream, and that's when I was assaulted. And
what did she do?
She picked the ice cream up and she took the dish, which was a sterling silver dish. Did I say sterling silver? Yeah, it was a sterling silver dish, and threw it at me, hitting me in the dish glanced off my head. I got ice cream all over the front of me. And I said to her, I'm going to call the police. And she said she wanted the police too. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be a gentleman about this. I'm going to sue you. Now, her husband, I happen to know, he runs a post-production house in Beverly Hills. And
Hold on for a minute. So this woman picked up this ice cream and threw it at you.
Yes. After she picked up the tray, there was some pie left on it.
After you told her that it was breast milk ice cream.
That is correct. Now, her husband is a very wealthy post-production guy, and I got news for you, and I got news for them, and I got news for anybody that wants to hear the news. They don't want me coming after them. They don't want Ted Bellinger. The last place they want to see me is in a courtroom. And I was humiliated in front of my customers, in front of my employees. I was assaulted. And
is there anything in your mind do you feel it was fair to bring up the fact that it was breast milk ice cream?
What I don't understand what is unfair about that. Breast milk ice cream, which, by the way...
I thought that the selling of breast milk in the United States was illegal.
No, but the selling of breast... Hold on for a minute. And don't... Please, Phil, don't start talking about things you don't know. The selling of breast milk is illegal. But this was on the house. It was also breast milk ice cream, all right? So it was not what we would call... it was not what you're going to call contraband. That's number one. But number two, she didn't pick that ice cream up and throw it at me because she felt it was illegal. She didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she is a sour woman who I felt was offended by the fact that there are younger women providing product that she can't provide. And
you think she threw that ice cream at you because she was angry that you had served her breast milk ice cream at a time in her life when she can't create breast milk?
Absolutely. And she called me every name in the book. And
did she ever, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ted.
Go ahead.
Did she reference at all what she thought was the quasi-legal nature? And I'm not saying it was illegal.
Look, there was nothing illegal about it. It was, I gave it to her. It was in, the product was made from breast milk. All right, so I didn't sell it, and it's a very delicious, I don't know if you've had breast milk ice cream, Phil.
No, I haven't.
Well, I can tell you I have, and it is absolutely delicious. And as I said, it came in three. We have the chocolate, we've got Dutch chocolate, and we've got vanilla. Actually, we have four. We have vanilla, and we got French vanilla, and we carry those flavors because those are the most popular. But what she did to me, by picking this up and throwing it at me, we got a little sidetracked. She assaulted me in my own restaurant. Now, this is a problem that we've had where patrons in restaurants, especially after they've had a few drinks, decide that they're going to get a little bit out of hand. They're going to throw things at people, or they're going to try to get into a fight. And we're restaurateurs. We are not, we're not security people. We're not, we don't want to get involved in fights. We are simply individuals who are, trying to run a business. And we have this this kind of thing happening, which, to my way of thinking, Phil, is an actionable offense. The reason why I'm on your program talking about this...
Well, can I interrupt one more time, Ted? I'll give her a number out. It's 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight about breast milk ice cream.
But really what we're talking about here is a patron assaulting me.
Yeah, we're talking about a patron of yours that assaulted you by throwing a dish of ice cream or a dish of pie. I guess she'd eaten all of it.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. When I found out, and I'm talking to her husband, I said, you got a problem. I said to her husband, I said, you got two problems. You got me, I'm coming after you, and you're married to her. And
what did he say to that?
What's he going to say? And this is one of the most powerful guys in town. He's got two post-production houses. But I said to him, you've got two problems. And I held my fingers up right in front of his face. And I said, two. I said, one. And I was holding the fingers up, and then I would peel one down at a time as I listed it. One, I'm suing you, which left, guess which finger it left?
So you're flipping the man off.
Exactly. And I said, and two, and I stuck that one right in his face, you're married to that. I was angry. I was angry.
All right, but again, what we're talking about here is the woman throwing this dish at you after she found out that you had given her breast milk ice cream. Do you think that there is anything to that?
Well, I told you that what I thought was to it. I said that the fact that she is not a young woman anymore, all right, she is not able to make breast milk herself. You come to the table and you say, and by the way, we've got a very delicious dessert this evening, breast milk ice cream, which you, if you get into the head of a woman, the first thing she's thinking is, you know, I can't make breast milk ice cream. Some, I don't know whether they're thinking some, you know, woman that's loose. You know, what kind of woman, you know, to be honest with you, and I've never asked the question, but what kind of woman, you know, lends her breast milk to make ice cream? I to be honest with you, I sell it, or I wouldn't sell it, but I do have it in my restaurant to give away. But I do question, you know, the character, I guess, of a woman that's going to...
All right. Well, I mean, whatever. So you're saying that you have this breast milk ice cream. But
I just question the character of any woman that would donate her own breast milk for this. But I think you've gotten a little bit off point.
And well, there's parallel things happening here, Ted. And our number, folks, 877-876-7445. On the one hand, you have the woman who threw that dish at you. The lawsuit that you're going to file, and rightfully so, and I don't know, was there a police report?
Oh, we both wanted the police. I said, I'm calling the police. She said, I'm calling the police, too. I said, you know what? I tell you what I'll do. How about if I just sue you? And that backed her off, and it backed her husband off, and they just, I have to tell you, they fled the restaurant, is the best way I can put it.
All right, well, you've got a couple of things going on here, in my opinion. You have not only the fact that she threw this ice cream dish at you, you also have the fact that it was breast milk ice cream. Now, I know it's against the, I know you didn't sell it.
No, I did not sell it. No, I did not. I'd like you to not keep bringing that up, because I didn't sell it.
All right, so you just gave it to them as a treat.
I gave it to them because it was late, because we had it. It's delicious. And I said, you've got to try this. And she said, okay. And I said, it's ice cream. It comes, what would you like? And she said, I'll take the, I think she had the Dutch, she had two scoops. She wanted the Dutch chocolate and she wanted the French vanilla. And there again is another point. You know, these people, when you give them something free, they really want it all. They just reach out and grab, grab, grab. And then you say, it's breast milk ice cream. And she throws the dish at me. So, and I told her husband that too. I said, she wants a cop. A minute ago, she was grabbing for all she could get. So this is a real problem among people who run restaurants. When you're late at night, they have a few drinks.
Had this woman been drinking?
I have to believe she was, yeah. I have to believe she was drinking. You've got to be, I got to tell you something, Phil. You've got to be drunk to throw a dish at me. To throw a dish at me. And as I said, there's two places you don't want to see me. You don't want to see me in court. And you don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish and you find out it was me that you threw it at.
So. All right, let's take a break here. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He owns a steakhouse, and he served a woman breast milk ice cream as a treat. When she found out what it was, she threw the dish at him. There is a lawsuit now between Mr. Bell and this woman. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Is this a, I wonder if this is actionable, and to be honest with you, I wonder seriously about the, I don't know whether it's legal or if that's the word, the legality or the tastefulness of serving somebody breast milk ice cream and not telling them. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Chef of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Are you a native, Ted?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles originally. I was born and raised in, believe it or not, Inglewood.
Well, when you say believe it or not, people should know what we mean, because it's primarily an African-American neighborhood.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I am white. Not that there's anything unusual about, a white man coming from a place that... I drove by our old house, and it was right there in Inglewood, and I said, there's a black guy sleeping in my bed now.
Good God, Ted.
Well... I don't mean that racially, and I know you want me to mean it that way.
No, I don't. I just don't find that tasteful.
I don't mean it racially, and I apologize.
All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the serving of ice cream to a woman. It turned out to be breast milk ice cream. And the woman throwing the dish of ice cream in your face.
And it was, by the way, it was on the house.
And it was comp, yes. I wanted to ask you before we take one of our calls, do you not think you should tell someone before you serve them food made from a fluid from a human being?
I think, Phil, you put it that way to make it sound as vile as you could, and I really resent that. And
no, I think I put it very objectively.
Well, what difference does it make that we eat food that is from the body of a mammal? We eat mammals. We eat. What is different from a woman?
We don't eat we don't eat human flesh.
Oh my God! We're not talking about eating human flesh. We're talking about breast milk, which is as pure and as it is a breast milk is. I think the very symbol. You know, I can't believe it. I got a dish thrown at me, and I looked at her. And I said, it's made from breast milk, and she got the sourest look on her face like a woman that's full of hate.
All right, let me take a call very quickly, and I apologize to our callers. We're running a little late tonight. Here is Sherry in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I don't know what he's thinking. Female breast milk, why didn't he tell her in the beginning that this is something we're comping, we're giving you? It's a new ice cream. It's female breast milk.
You didn't tell her it was female breast milk.
That is, you're not going to come out and say that because that's the, what do you call it? That's the surprise, if you will.
Okay, that's why you got the dish thrown at you.
Well, it didn't make any difference in my mind whether it was female breast. I thought it was unusual because it was made from female breast milk that it was so delicious.
No, I'll tell you. Female breast milk carries whatever that mother eats. That's why a lot of babies cannot drink their mother's milk because of the filtering. It's got stuff in it. If they're on drugs, if they're on alcohol, and you fed this woman.
How do you know the woman wasn't? How do you know where this breast milk comes from?
The breast milk the Hester brothers use?
Yeah.
It is absolutely, it comes from people that they know, friends of theirs.
Oh, God, man, I don't know if that's anything. Sherry, why don't you hang on the line? We'll be right back with you and Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
God.
Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is not only brought brought to you by Tents of Beverly Hills. It's brought to you by Dynapep, a fantastic, fantastic product. Here's Phil Henry to tell you a little bit more about Dynapep.
Here at Tents.
The micro shot.
You wanna put on
Thank you, Ted.
I've tried the Dynapep. I like it a lot.
Dynapep is one of our sponsors. And, of course, Dynapep, a sponsor to our program and a product that we use. And, of course, Ted the Bear, you know.
I saw Ted the Bear with the bells on his neck and everything. Very cute. Although I didn't like him,
Never mind. Dynapep is a micro energy shot, folks, that we use on this program. I use Dynapep some nights when you really need an extra little pick-me-up. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's only 2 calories, okay? So it's a healthy micro shot, and it gets you through the night focused and alert, or keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We have Dynapep here in studio, and if you're watching our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, show you the Dynapep, and then you see Buddy Bear has got some Dynapep. This is the Dynapep that I took this evening. It's a cinnamon-flavored Dynapep, and it is awesome. I may have another one here. It's Dynapep, and go to Dynapep.com to learn more. Dynapep.com. Ted Bell with us. We're going to go back to our listener, Sherry, who is very patient, waiting in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Sherry. And the question I had, and you brought it up as well, Sherry, is selling somebody a product that is a bodily fluid.
You know, you make it sound like I was selling that woman urine. And I think there's a difference between that and mother's milk.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, the scientists say that urine is purified. It is sanitary water. So what's the difference? That's gross to be sending. Why would you...
Are you telling me that mother's milk that we feed babies is the same as someone peeing into a bottle?
Well,
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
We are? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Phil?
It's purified.
I'm talking to a lady.
So you tell me. Okay. How would you like if somebody had served you...
Oh, my God. Are you telling me that you're...
A man's body fluid. No, wait. How would you like it if somebody had given you a man's bodily fluid in a tiramisu or in some kind of... How would you like that once you found out after you had eaten it? How would you react?
Let me ask you, how many times have you put that into food and not told anybody? Thank you.
That's absolutely rude.
Well, I don't know why she gets off asking me something
like
that.
No, it's not rude. I'm telling you.
Breast milk is meant to be consumed, and I think with the other
only
that you're talking about, no, it isn't. Wow.
Not necessarily.
We've talked a lot of women into it. But
hey, hold on. I want to watch where we're going with this conversation.
What?
What you just said.
A lot of babies cannot ingest.
Well, I said we've talked. The point is, some babies may be able to eat it and some may not, but it is intended to be consumed. It's there for the nourishment and for the survival of the infant. The other liquids you're talking about is not.
How do you
Sherry,
know?
Thank you so much.
That's the
thank
point.
You so much.
That's
yeah, how do
point.
We know?
How do we know? How do we
how
know?
How do you know?
The two liquids that you mentioned, I have one is a waste product, the other is for the procreation of life, neither of which is the consumption of a food.
I can't believe
that you have me, you know, ma'am, you're starting to make me think what you have for lunch every day.
No, I eat regular food that goes to the FDA.
No, I doubt that. Not after what I just heard you say. I doubt that sincerely.
Okay, let's stop while we're ahead.
Has
okay?
your milk for your ice cream been passed by the FDA?
Wait a minute. You got done telling me that a man's you-know-what and something else is perfectly fine as food, and you use it in soups and stews.
So no,
she never
that's not
said
what
that.
I said.
You pretty much said
how
that.
How would you like
no,
it?
No, she didn't. All right, if somebody snuck it into a food. All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. It's Roger in St. Louis. Go ahead, Roger, on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to kind of steer this in a more respectable direction. I have food allergies. And this restaurateur needs to understand that a guy like me if you said, oh, surprise, there's an ingredient, okay, I get extremely ill over certain things. I'm allergic to perfumes. And
wouldn't you say that?
I would be extremely offended if somebody just...
Wouldn't you say to me, excuse me, before you bring me that food, I want you to know I have food allergies.
Yeah.
Would you say that? All right.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure any person who has food allergies, I win. I win.
What do you mean you win?
No.
I think you're
bringing me ice cream, and then afterwards you say surprise, you went and got
a
tray.
If I brought you ice cream,
and you wouldn't walk up for an hour. And the cops would have taken me to jail because I'd have gotten
you.
You have a responsibility to the public, mister.
Oh, you're an
okay?
idiot.
Hey, 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 hey.
Well, this guy,
I'm serious.
He's not even going to tell me he's got a food allergy. He's going to sit there. Yeah, I bet you'd be offended by women's breast milk, wouldn't you? That'd really upset you. Guy like you.
Okay, I wouldn't have. Me personally, if you let me know ahead of time, wouldn't have had a problem.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
You have a food allergy. Yeah, get out of here.
This isn't worth my breath.
No, you're not even you're not making sense. That's why you're hanging up, because you know I kicked your ass. All 6 foot four of you.
Hey, hey, what is it with you?
Well, this guy came on and said. He came on.
What's the matter?
Well, he came on. He said that he had food allergies, okay?
What, Ted, if you're emotional about this...
Well, and then I said, okay, wouldn't you tell me that you did? And he said, yeah, and I beat him, and he kept talking.
Are you crying?
Well, why did you do something to defend me?
The man made a statement, and I think what...
I heard what his statement was, but you didn't say anything.
The point is this, okay, and I think we have to stick to the point. The point is, you served that woman breast milk ice cream. It should have been something that you volunteered.
What about if she has a food allergy?
Whether she has a food allergy or whether she doesn't, as a restaurateur, as the owner of the business, don't you think you should tell people?
No, what am I supposed to say? What kind of cow the milk came out? If I serve somebody some ice cream... And I say it's ice cream. You want me to give them the ingredients? Oh, and by the way, this is ice cream. You know it's made from milk. And here's the kind of cow it came out of. And the cow was raised in New Jersey. And it ate this kind of grass. That's ridiculous. That guy that I just got done talking to is offended by the idea of nursing at a woman's breast. How's that feel?
I'm embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because that was childish.
What? What I just... Oh, man, you are... And I sponsor your program.
Yeah, you sponsor my program. I'm embarrassed for what you just said. I thought it was extremely childish. 877-876-7445. Here is Tom in Hesperia, California. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question, Ted. Where does this milk come from again?
What's that?
Where does it come... What brothers? Who offers the milk?
This is a dairy in Chicago, the Hassinger Brothers.
Okay, and you said it's a bunch of their friends that just come in and just supply the milk for the ice cream?
This was milk. They are people that they know.
Okay, and who regulates, you know, who regulates
woman,
the people that they know? Who regulates that?
Regulates?
Like
I thought we were living in a day and age. I thought we were living in a day and age where we had too much government.
No, this is not... This is not, no, we're not going down that road. And don't cry, Ted, don't cry.
No, that's
Ted,
exactly the road we're going to go down. We're going to go down that road. I thought we lived
FDA,
in a day and age where there's too much government.
I didn't say that.
Now everybody wants government.
I didn't say that.
Did. Yes, you did.
I did not. I said,
no, he did
you
not.
Said that a bunch of women get in a room and supply the breast milk. Who regulates to make sure that they're not getting paid? How do you know there's not a sign on the door that says, hey, donate breast milk? Who knows what these women are, whether they're on drugs or alcohol or not?
How do I know you're not a Republican that's all of a sudden taking cover under the FDA's umbrella?
I am a Republican. That's why I'm calling the Patriot Hotline.
So all of us, you're a Republican, and now you want Big Brother regulating breast milk.
Ted, you're veering way up. The point is, you're serving this to someone that consumes it. You have no control over where the breast milk comes. some brother's factory has some chicks walk in and donate milk.
Do you honestly think that that's why? Do you honestly think that's why that woman threw that plate of ice cream at me?
She threw it at you because you didn't say where it came from. You didn't say, oh, by the way.
She threw it at me because she was an old, dried-up bag.
You're filing a lawsuit against this family, man, and you're coming out and you're saying all this stuff, and it's going to prejudice the hell out of your case.
My attorney knows I'm talking about this. Okay? Yeah,
but everything you're saying on the show tonight, they're going to put into a countersuit, man.
She may be a dried, quote-unquote, a dried-up bag, but that you didn't say, oh, by the way, this is breast milk. You said ice cream, enjoy it, it's on the house.
Well, let me ask you a question. Milk happens to be the latest thing in nutrition and in food, and we had this and we served it. Okay.
No. So too, it's essential for life. I understand that, but people should know about it. It shouldn't be known about, and you as a restaurateur should regulate. I know God forbid use that word. Where this comes from?
Well, why would you want regulation if I see? That's the thing that really.
Let's get
where
off
does
that,
the milk
man,
come
because
from?
The gentleman's right. There's nothing from. There's nothing. What was your question, sir?
He asked me, where did it come from? Do you want me to say it a different way? It's women's breast milk.
Okay, all right, I understand that, but there's no one that said these women have been tested for drugs or alcohol. They're this or that or the other thing. You said it's a bunch of brothers that own this factory. This girls come in, they donate it. Now you're giving it away. You're finding the loophole.
These are families. These are families, and they are healthy. They're Midwest families, Midwest women.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I happen to know the Hassinger brothers very well. And secondly, if you've got a prejudice against big, fat women, which is probably what they are. I don't think you really are concerned at all, sir.
I have a prejudice about putting things in my body that I don't know where they come from. I have a prejudice against that. If I choose to go and smoke a cigarette or I choose to drink a beer, I'm choosing that. I don't choose to have ice cream.
Well, let me ask you, when you and your husband get together and talk about this.
Okay, what is that crack?
Wow.
You know what I mean? I think you know what I mean.
So what has that got to do with anything?
Starting to cry.
I think he's prejudiced against women's breasts.
You know,
I'm not prejudiced. I love women's breasts. I love them to death. Doesn't mean I want that squirted in my coffee when I don't know the lady.
All right, dude. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, thanks very much, man. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to laugh at that last line, even though
I'm a sponsor of this program, and I'm disgusted by you, and I'm disgusted by your engineer, who I hope dumped that. And
he dumps what he thinks he ought to dump, and not.
As a sponsor.
You're the guy that's selling or giving away or whatever you're doing women's breast milk.
Well, now I think I've heard it all. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you call the police and have me arrested and have me drugged behind a Jeep and beaten because I happen to think women's breast milk is a good thing. Please call the police. Have me thrown in. You ought to hear yourself.
No, you ought to hear yourself. You just sounded like a jackball again. Okay?
How long do you think I'm going to sponsor this portion of your program?
I got Dynapep. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on giving a woman breast milk ice cream. I mean, how funky is that, you know, if you don't tell her what it is first? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger next hour talking about Charlie Sheen.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Brad's of Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen, where we endeavor to be great hosts. And to come into my restaurant and physically assault me as that woman, well...
Can I make a suggestion?
What?
I would not, in the middle of a commercial, try to make these pitches that you're making on the show, you know?
You know what, Phil? I appreciate very much your suggestion, but I think a moment ago here, I think you showed your colors a little bit by talking to me. As you were saying that I was being rude to some woman who said that she puts a man's fluid into clam chowder. I forget.
She never said anything of the sort. What is it with you, man?
What do you mean, what is it with me? She said she brought that up. I didn't.
Yeah, she did, but she didn't say she puts it in clam chowder.
Well, what do you think she does? She brings it up, oh, well. And I said, it's not edible. Or she goes, how do you know? Well, I can tell you, ma'am, if you're still listening, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't know. So, wow. Okay, I mean, can we...
All right, I'm just...
Are you stunned by how stupid I am?
No, I'm not stunned by how stupid you are, but I think that what you're saying here does not help your case in this lawsuit. 877-876-7445. Here is Jeremy in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
First, there's a reason why good restaurants give you a menu so that you can pick what you want and know exactly what ingredients are in what you're eating. So it's no wonder why Mr. Ted here has deliberately held off that information of being breast milk ice cream to give to the young lady, not the elderly. The other thing that when she assaulted him...
Can I ask you something? I asked her, would you like to have a delicious dessert?
It's not about a delicious dessert. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's exactly what you said earlier. You like breast milk. You don't know if she does or not, so give her the option to make that decision for herself.
Why didn't she say no?
That's the reason why she was upset. It had nothing to do with her being elderly and not being able to produce breast milk. That is not the first thought that went through her head. It's the fact that you assaulted her because you put something in her body that she did not choose to put in there.
I think it's interesting, sir, that you know her better than I do. I'm the one that she threw a whole dish of ice cream at.
And well, you said it wasn't a whole dish. Yeah, you also said, Ted, it wasn't a whole dish of ice cream. You said it was she'd eaten all of it.
It was a sterling silver dish that you said, and you deserved it because you assaulted her by putting something into her body that she did not choose to be there.
Wait a minute, but you don't know what you're talking about, young man. First of all, the woman said to me, what's in it? And I said, it's a surprise. And she goes, I like surprises.
Being
this tough guy inside of a courtroom, you should know the term full disclosure. You should have given her the information ahead of time before allowing her to put something in her body.
We're not in a courtroom, we're in a restaurant. We're not in a court of law. We're in a restaurant. And she,
You've repeated four different times how you don't want to see you inside of a courtroom. That's right.
You don't want to see me in a courtroom.
You don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish at me. Your intelligence level is about the size of your shoe. So here's the reality.
This guy's going to tell me the reality. This ought to be good.
This is the reality. Your restaurant must not be doing that well for you to have to sue an elderly woman just because you were...
I'm not suing her. I'm suing her husband. And her husband owns one of the biggest post-production houses in L.A., so you don't know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Right.
Number two, because he has money,
and that's what you're looking
this
for.
Nobody throws a dish at me in my own restaurant. And number two,
no,
if it had been
not.
You throwing a dish
not,
at me...
You're this big tough guy against an elderly woman, because had it been somebody else, you wouldn't be doing this right now. Because they have
money,
threw
the dish at me. She made me out to be some kind of a clown.
She chose not to have.
Because you've had things in your body that you chose not to have, haven't you?
No,
okay,
not
Ted, why don't you grow up, okay? Why don't you grow up?
Yeah, sure.
And again, this is my argument with my 12-year-old little girl, because it's the same mentality. Because this gentleman here, obviously,
I guess he's never heard
of the mentality that the customer's always right, because he talks about
it too
much
to hear
anybody else say anything.
The customer's not always right. Sometimes the customer's an idiot.
Maybe if you were to shut your mouth and open your ears, you might learn something.
Like any place you eat, I'm sure they've got at least one customer that's a blithering idiot. And I've got another thing to say.
We're all out of time.
all out. Yeah, you let this guy go on.
We're out of that's it.
So Big Mouth here. You know something, buddy? I hope you eat. Steak's on me. Come on out to Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry.